You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, inflation continued to rise in December, the highest it's been in decades. We'll talk to a Wisconsin business and economics professor about why it's been sticking around and what it means for our economy. Now, New Year's resolutions often focus around what kind of food we'll eat and how much of it. But for this week's edition of Food Friday, we want to hear about your resolutions or plans for the kitchen. How do you want to cook this year? Maybe you've been afraid to try making something different. The souffle, the poached eggs, handmade noodles, DIY croissants. You're going to try to do more vegetarian cooking or make the perfect steak on the grill. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's something you want to try cooking in 2022? How do you want to shake things up? Or is there something you picked up over the last couple of years? Maybe some pandemic baking projects that have now become a part of your daily routine or weekly routine. You want to share it with others. Maybe encourage them. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Maybe you just want to do more cooking, more home-cooked meals. Doesn't have to be fancy. Or maybe you're planning on doing less cooking, saving time, keeping things simple. Call in now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call with your cooking plans for 2022, big or small. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. Now, we got some stories from our colleagues here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Jason Butler, assistant to the director of radio here, wants to add more meals to his roster.
My 2022 cooking goal is to find two or three more meals that I can make for my kids and myself that are vegetarian and that we'll all enjoy. I'm looking for meals that I can put into my regular rotation.
It wasn't vegetarian, but I definitely had that situation with various points with my kids. Like, you know, we've got some proven winners here, but you keep making them again and again, and somebody's going to get tired of them. Might be me, might be them, I don't know. Now let's hear from Muna Algathy, Education Engagement Specialist for Wisconsin PBS, a special dish to perfect this year.
The empathy fatigue that we're talking about on the physician support line now.
That's not the clip we wanted. Okay, well, it was mislabeled, but Muna's goal is to master cooking lamb biryani at home. Muna says, I've been experimenting for the past couple of weeks and things seem to be going in the right direction. We spend maybe a little too much money at Amber Cuisines over in Middleton on their fabulous lamb biryani. I'm doing my best to recreate it at home. Well, let's check out your cooking plans for 2022 at 800-642-1234. Donna starts us off in Verona. Donna, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What are you going to make this year, Donna?
Yogurt.
Okay, now I've done this years and years ago. I borrowed a yogurt maker, but the first ingredient you get is yogurt. I had to use store-bought yogurt. You put it in this thing and you make more yogurt. How are you doing it?
Well, I think I'm going to get the starter. I ordered a starter to start the cream in it, and that's basically what we're waiting for. So it should be exciting to try making new yogurt. Last time I was there, I bought some in a glass jar for $1.50, and I thought, oh my gosh, I should be making this.
Now, do you consume lots yourself?
Yeah, our whole family consumes a lot of yogurt.
Okay. And is this all going to be plain and eat it plain or use it for cooking, or are you going to experiment with flavored yogurts?
I think we're going to try everything.
Excellent.
Everything. Why not?
That sounds great. Well, good luck with your yogurt making, Donna. Let us know how it goes. Shoot us an email, ideas@WPR.org, after your first success or failure. Either way is good. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to Jennifer in Oconomowoc. Jennifer, hi.
Hello. So we went out to eat around the holidays, and my husband loves pork chops, and he got a rather thick pork chop, and we got into the discussion of how do they make these so that they're cooked all the way through. So long story short, my husband ended up buying a sous vide, I think I'm saying that correctly, system, which I believe the restaurants use to do just that. And it kind of cracks me up because we really don't know what we're doing with it. Any suggestions?
I have never done sous vide myself, but we've had so many callers over the years and Food Friday guests who swear by it. So you have the kit in your hands now, Jennifer? You've received it? And have you taken it for a spin yet?
Yeah, we made one dinner with pork chops, and frankly, I thought that they were a little underdone, so we'll have to adjust. Yep, we'll have to adjust the temperature on that. Or the timing? No, the temperature.
Could be
either.
I don't
know. See, that's, yeah.
All right. Well, Jennifer, you know, poke around online. I'm sure there's got to be YouTube videos giving you step-by-steps on that. Good luck with your sous vide. Yeah, we heard from Karina Abrego-Koch, outreach specialist for WPR, who says, I've been using Instant Pot for a few years, air fryer since 2018. Karina says, the next trendy kitchen device I want to try is sous vide. Have one. It's been in the box since last spring. So maybe if Karina has success, we can share that with you, Jennifer. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We are asking for your cooking plans. You can call them resolutions if you want. Do people really make resolutions? But something you want to try to cook or cook better or cook more of in 2022, a new ingredient maybe, a new technique, a new style of cooking, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Hartford. Jim, hi.
Hey, hello. Yeah, I got into this habit so far this year every morning of just waking and baking. It's pretty awesome.
Now, are you literally baking cakes or are you being coy with us here, Jim? Jim dropped. Yeah, I think that was a bit of a prank. And that'd be a lot of cake to make if you're doing it every morning. We are looking for your actual cooking goals for 2022 at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is there something new you want to try? A new cookbook you're planning to get a lot of mileage out of? Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or call 800-642-1234. We heard from Sheila Shigley, host of Simply Folk here, who says, I want to make stir fries in a real wok with smoking hot oil where everything ignites in a ball of garlicky fire, leaving you with seared veggie and tofu awesomeness. I used to have a wok, like not a very good one. I got to say, my wife and I, we make stir fries, kind of like loosely Chinese style stir fries. And back in the day, we'd make them and they'd taste, you know, okay. And we tried different sauces, different spices, different heats, and they came out okay. They all taste about the same. That is one thing I want to do is maybe hit the cookbooks, do some research, and try to make stir fries that are better than just okay. How about you? Do you have some advice for me? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Again, asking around here at WPR, we heard from Jennifer Dargan, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board. JDAR wants to up her pasta game. Here's a listen.
I often order pasta primavera when I eat out, but I haven't been successful making it at home. So I've set out to try a bunch of different recipes until I find one that I love. The first one that I tried was from SeriousEats.com, and it turned out okay. Next, I'm going to try the New York Times recipe.
All right, pasta primavera. That sounds like a great project for the year. Let's go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Rita is with us in Spooner. Rita, hi.
Hi.
What are you going to work on, Rita?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you? What are you going to work on this year?
I'm going to learn how to make Reuben soup.
Reuben soup. Now, is that like a Reuben sandwich, but in soup form?
Yeah, in soup form. So it'll have corned beef and it'll have sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, cream. I hope it's good. I mean, I had it one time at a restaurant up in Hayward, and it was delicious. But I've never been able to make it, but I'm going to try this year.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that in soup form. You had it up in Hayward, you said. Now, it was pretty good?
Yes, it was excellent. It was at Angler's Inn.
Well, maybe call them and see if they can give you their recipe. Are you making it up, or did you find a recipe?
I've kind of found a recipe, but I'll probably make it up too.
Excellent. Well, good luck. I like a good Reuben sandwich. I'd probably like a good Reuben soup. A Reuben sandwich and Reuben soup. That's probably a little too much, though, at the same time. Good luck, Rita. We'll go now to Becky in Waterford. Becky, hi.
Hi there. This is so exciting you guys are talking about this, because for the last month or so, I've been doing some research on new pots and pans, because the ones I have are just awful. Everything sticks and my food just gets burned, and I'm blaming the pans, not me. But so I'm going to, as it happens, to an outlet store at Johnson Creek tomorrow to buy new pans from a company called Le Creuset from France. And they're kind of pricey, but Wisconsin has two outlets, and everywhere I look on YouTube and reviews, they all say that they're one of the top-tier cast iron and cast iron enamel pans, so I'm hoping to get a good deal and kind of revamp how I cook.
All right, and what is your first recipe on your new pots and pans, do you think, going to be?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, but given the fact that it's winter and I'm a big fan of soups and stews and I'm hoping to get a Dutch oven, I'm probably going to do what I like is split pea soup.
Oh, a great winter food. Oh, that sounds great, Becky. Good luck. Happy hunting for a deal on those pots and pans. Thanks for calling in. We are talking about cooking resolutions, plans, notions, ambitions for this new year of 2022. Looking for your calls at 800-642-1234. Our own Maureen McCollum, executive producer of Wisconsin Life, has a simple goal. She says, eat less cheese directly out of bag, put on chip, and cook it instead. Hashtag realistic goals. Yeah, sometimes I just like the cheese right out of the container. Sometimes I'll get out the crackers too. How about you? What is your ambition, big or small? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. New style of cooking, new entree, maybe something you've learned in the last couple of years you want to take up a notch, as they say. 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It is Food Friday, and we're picking up our talk about New Year's cooking resolutions, goals, ambitions. We want to hear how you are hoping to switch it up in the kitchen this year. Still time for your story at 800-642-1234. Do you want to use more of something in your cooking, less of something in your cooking? Try something new that you thought was too complicated to try, but you want to master it anyway. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Back to your calls now. Joe is on the line in Green Bay. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I want to try this year. I love cooking Thanksgiving meals. It's just a big stress reliever for myself. At any rate, I'm going to try a totally meatless Thanksgiving meal. So and I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Well, I want to ask Joe, so you're making Thanksgiving meals not just on Thanksgiving Day, it sounds like.
Not just on Thanksgiving meal, on Thanksgiving Day. No, that's just, I wait all year for that one day, yes. But I do it like five times. Unfortunately, this past Thanksgiving, I was down with bronchitis.
Oh.
And the rest of the family, they ate hot dogs.
Oh, no, because you weren't there to cook. All right, well, you can make up for it this year, Joe. Do you have notions on how to get on what you want to do to be the centerpiece, the meatless centerpiece, if you're doing a meatless Thanksgiving version?
I'm still working on that. It's going to be interesting. But I'm thinking possibly some type of plant-based meat as a possible starter. But we'll see. Just as long as it doesn't turn out to look like a bunch of raisin, that would be very bad.
All right, I got to ask one thing, though, Joe, before I let you go. You said cooking these Thanksgiving-style meals is a stress reliever for you. I think a lot of people are in the position of making Thanksgiving dinner where it's a stress enhancer. Why is it a relaxing thing for you?
Oh, God. For how many times I get a phone call from a friend on or just before Thanksgiving, Joe, come and save me. Oh, my word. There was one time I was at one of the local grocery stores, and there was like a it was a new packer. I won't say who it was. Him and his wife on Thanksgiving Eve looking for not frozen turkey. and they were like, boy, I wish I had time. I would give you mine. I can handle a frozen turkey, you know, if I'm allowed to use the chainsaw. But I felt really for the guy. I gave him all the tips. I did tell him where to find thawed out, but it might be thick through turkey already. But
We needed a better game plan. Joe, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go next to Cam on the line in Madison. Cam, hi.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good. What's your plan, Cam?
Oh, my plan is to do a little bit more wild game and foraged food cooking this year.
Ooh, okay. What kind of things are you going to be foraging for?
Well, I had a pretty successful ramp season this last year, so I'm hoping to get some more ramps again this year and hoping to get some mushrooms, morels, chanterelles, stuff like that.
Excellent. You could drop some of those ramps off on my porch, okay?
Oh, I've got some in the freezer. I'll hook you up.
Okay. And what do you like to do with ramps? I like a ramp pesto I've made. I use them. I saute them with a lot of different meals. What's your favorite use of a good ramp?
So I like to pickle the bulbs. We've made a lot of pesto. I like ramp butter. I make, I dry out the leaves, make ramp salt.
That sounds fantastic. Well, happy foraging this year, Cam. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday, and you are our guest today. We're asking for your plans for cooking in 2022. What is something you want to do more of, as Cam did there, or something you want to try maybe for the first time? Do you have a new cookbook you want to take for a spin this year and learn some new stuff from it? A new ingredient you'd like to try, new to you, I'm guessing. 800-642-1234 is the number to call in. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email ideas@WPR.org. Oh, look, we got a couple emails. Grant emailed a tip. Sheila Shigley was talking about her stir fries. Grant says, assuming you have a good recipe, the success to stir frying is having a very large fire under your wok. A very large, all caps, fire. Grant seems really enthusiastic about the fire element of stir frying. But yeah, you're supposed to do it really hot, as I understand it. Grant, thanks for that. Anne in Madison emailed, she's going to try a theme of whipped egg whites, cloud eggs, fried eggs where the whites are whipped. I've never seen that. Or those tall, fluffy Japanese souffle pancakes. Interesting. Now, I separate out egg whites and whip them. My favorite thing for that, of course, is my waffles. You beat those egg whites, man. It makes them fluffy, really good. Yeah, I got to do more of that, actually. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you hoping to accomplish in the kitchen this year? Yeah, it's a little late for New Year's resolutions, but we're doing them anyway at 800-642-1234. Oh, we got a lot more comments from our WPR colleagues. Better read a couple. Judith Marie Heise, WPR's digital marketing manager, says, my husband does the cooking in our house, and he's challenged himself to one new recipe a week. Oh, I love that. A recipe of the week challenge. Last week, he made Jerusalem-style mixed grilled chicken. It was so crazy good, we're trying not to eat it again this week. Why would you try not to make it again? Also, I got the book, Judith says, on pie for Christmas and want to start working my way through it. Use the apple pie recipe from it this fall. It was outstanding. Need more pie in my life, Judith says, in 2022. I do like a good pie. Bring some in, Judith. That reminds me, one of my things that I'm kind of resolving to do. So if you listen a lot, you know I have a weird thing with cinnamon, and I shouldn't eat it. Doesn't kill me, but it's not good. But there's a lot of kinds of food that I love that have cinnamon. Indian food, a lot of Middle Eastern food, some Mexican food. So I'm going to try to do more of like replicating those things at home, but leaving out the cinnamon. Your turn at 800-642-1234. We've got John with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I do a lot of smoking meat.
Uh-huh.
And the one that I'm got to do now, do you know what a fatty is in regard to smoking?
I don't. Fill me in.
It's pretty much a modified meatloaf. You take a pound of bacon, you weave a mat, then you put like ground meat on there, and you put your insert, whatever you're going to put on the inside.
Wow.
And then you roll it up like a cinnamon roll, smoke it for about 3 hours.
So we got bacon woven and wrapped around beef or whatever ground meat and other stuff, and then you smoke it. That sounds amazing, John.
Yeah.
Have you done this before?
I've done like 30 or 40, and not one of them the same. I did one for my sister that loves dill pickles but don't eat red meat, so I use ground turkey, ham sandwich meat, cream cheese, and a dill pickle. Roll that up in a cinnamon roll and smoke that. The one I have to try this year is a chicken cordon bleu. You take boneless, skinless chicken breast, pound it flat, and then put that on top of the bacon, and then put ham and cheese in there and smoke it.
Oh, my God. John, this sounds great. When's your cookbook coming out, man?
I just cook a lot. I drive a truck, so my fiance picks stuff that she wants for the weekend, and I got about 200 cookbooks, so I have to find what the recipe is. So, like, we did beef stroganoff. I couldn't find a recipe. I actually found the Russian recipe for it. So
that's amazing.
A lot of European cooking.
That sounds fantastic, John. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Wow. That sounds, it almost makes me want to get a smoker now. I feel like I'd use it a couple times and not that much. Thanks for that call, John, at 800-642-1234. WPR Membership Director Joanna Gulke says, my partner and I want to up our cooking skills, especially knife skills, this year. I see YouTube video date nights in our future about this. Let's bring on one more caller. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you working on, Mark?
So right around the Christmas time, my wife and I started home canning dried pinto beans and black beans. So they're in pint jars, and it tastes so much better than what you get at the grocery store. It takes a little bit of work, but it's cheaper and it tastes better. The other thing we started doing is trying a lot more recipes from ATK as well.
America's Test Kitchen. Yes, frequent guests on this show, and they put those recipes to the test. Mark, what are you making with those beans this weekend before I let you go?
We fill them in with four tacos. We make our own refried beans. We add them to chili. So there's a lot of different things we do with them.
Fantastic. Mark, thanks so much for your call. Thanks to everyone who called in. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing your cooking goals, your resolutions for the new year. If you have one to share but you didn't have time to call, that's okay, because you can still head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what you are going to be working on in the kitchen, on the grill, on the smoker. You name it, put that on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Coming up Monday on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent. A Milwaukee museum has told the story of black history in the U.S. for years, but faced financial struggles along the way. Visit America's Black Holocaust Museum. Get a preview of a reopen next month. That's Monday morning on the Ideas Network. It's ice fishing season here in Wisconsin, and if you're a fan of the sport, you probably have your favorite spot where there are fish aplenty under the ice. But how's this for a new ice fish discovery? A spot under the ice with 60 million fish nests. But you have to go to Antarctica to find it. As reported by CNN, a new report in the journal Current Biology reveals the discovery of a vast colony of these fish called ice fish, over 90 square miles under a frozen sea off the Antarctic coast. Researchers involved and other scientists say they didn't expect to see anywhere near that many fish in what should be a hostile environment. One key, these ice fish have unique blood. They're the only vertebrates that have no red blood cells. Their blood is copper-based instead of iron, and it's kind of evolved an antifreeze in their blood that keeps it from crystallizing at low temperatures. Ice fishers, don't get too excited. I'm not sure if these guys are good eating, and I'm not sure where you'd get a license from down there. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. If you've been noticing higher costs for food, furniture, hotels, rental cars, and more, and if you've been seeing something's missing from store shelves, you're not alone. Supplies are down, demand is up for many products. It's been the case for months during the pandemic. And we received some inflation data this week that it was up in December to a 40-year high. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been seeing and feeling inflation in your life? Where has it affected you? How has it affected you? What do you think is causing it? What questions do you have about what is leading to higher prices for a lot of stuff? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Kevin Barr is professor of finance and chief analyst at the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we had inflation tick up earlier this year. There were hopes that it would be fleeting, not stick around. Seems to have stuck around. What are you watching for? How bad is this right now?
Well, in the short term, it's obviously not good. From a longer term, if you want to look and kind of define long term a little bit, but by the end of 2022, prices will hopefully subside. I mean, a lot of this stuff is going to be tied to supply chain issues, and supply chain issues are, of course, tied to what's going on with COVID. And it's not just COVID in the United States, but it's COVID around the world. If somebody gets sick, can't go to work, or if their children get sick and they have to take care of their children, it takes people out of the workforce. And again, it's not just here, but it's globally. And so as long as COVID hangs on, it's going to affect supply chains.
Yeah, let's stay with the supply chain side of things a little bit in places like China, which, for better or worse, manufacture a lot of stuff, a lot of the stuff we buy. China has a very aggressive lockdown policy, as I understand it, that shuts down factories, maybe even power plants from time to time. Is that the origin story of some of our supply chain problems here?
Absolutely, or basically just about anybody that we're importing from. I can throw out kind of a quick example, maybe to kind of show how things kind of ripple. But back in 1990, the United States basically produced 37% of the world's semiconductor chips. That 37% has fallen down to about 12%. Most of the stuff that we use is now imported from Southeast Asia. That would include South Korea, Taiwan, China. But if you can't get that semiconductor chip, even though it's a relatively small part of a $30,000 plus vehicle, well, then you're not going to be able to get the vehicle. So that cost goes up. Well, if you can't buy the new vehicle, then you start looking at the used car. Well, then that cost goes up. Used car prices went through the roof last year, up 37%. Well, what if you want to go on vacation? Then you have to rent a car. Well, those prices are going to go up too, because there's a shortage of cars for the rental car companies. So, I mean, that supply chain stuff, it's not only what's going on in the United States, it's global, and it's kind of a rippling effect. It's kind of a snowball effect.
We're talking about inflation right now and how it impacts your life with UW-Stevens Point Professor of Finance Kevin Barr. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there something where you've noticed, hey, this costs more than I expected, more than I usually pay for it, whether something small at the grocery store or something big at the furniture store or the car lot? You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your experiences, your thoughts on what's driving this, your questions for our guest. Again, that's 800-642-1234. I want to get a listen to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell talking earlier this week after being questioned about inflation as part of a confirmation hearing to take a second term. Here's some of what he had to say.
If we see inflation persisting at high levels longer than expected, then we will, you know, then we'll, if we have to raise interest rates more over time, we will. We will use our tools to get inflation back. And the main reason is this, that to get the kind of very strong labor market we want with high participation, it's going to take a long expansion. We can see that participation is moving only very slowly. And to get a long expansion, we're going to need price stability. Right. And so in a way, high inflation is a severe threat to the achievement of maximum employment and to achieving a long expansion that can give us that.
Let's tackle that point he just made there, Kevin. Inflation maybe raising the risk that we're not going to bring more people back into the labor market. Can you connect the dots for us?
There's really kind of a couple of things going on. I mean, if you continue to have high inflation, that's definitely going to put a damper on any economic growth. And consequently, you're going to have a reduction in any employment opportunities for people then wishing to go back into the labor force. Last year, job openings were basically at record highs in the United States. They were 30% higher than what they were back in 2018. So the Federal Reserve has kind of a long-term goal of, or a long-term inflation target of around 2%. So obviously, we were much higher than that at that 7% level to close out last year. So they're very cognizant of the fact of what high inflation can do on the economy. I think one other point that I might throw out, Chairman Powell mentioned as far as the increase of interest rates, interest rates right now are basically bottomed out. We are at record lows. If you go back over the last 50 years, there's only two times that the Federal Reserve has pushed interest rates down to their current level, which is basically between 0 and 0.25% for very short-term interest rates. That happened after the financial crisis, and it happened after COVID. So the rate levels we have now, that's not normal. That is abnormal. If you go back a couple of years ago, interest rates were at 2%. So interest rate increases, they are very, very likely this year. But even if they happen to, say, push short-term rates to 1 to 1.5%, that is still relatively very low in the United States.
It's Brianna. Caller now at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us in Chippewa Falls. Bob, hi.
Hi. Say, I think your guest is right. You know, even the small chips, now we have to depend upon it globally. And when we made that shift probably 20, 30 years ago, everything's great globally as long as it's working well. But if it doesn't work well or we have a pandemic and have to depend upon other countries, that's where we're at. And I frankly think a lot of people forgot about the Phillips curve about 20 years ago, but it's back again on interest rates and inflation. So that's just my comments. So,
Bob, thanks for calling. Bob's first comment, Kevin, there are rewards to a globalized economy when things work. As Bob was saying, things can work pretty well. The stuff gets cheaper a lot of the time as people use their, I guess, competitive local advantage. When things don't work, it gets disrupted. It can take a lot longer to untangle.
Bob is absolutely correct. And there's a couple of things behind that. I mean, number one, supply chains over the last 20, 30 years, you know, with globalization, they've really become kind of interconnected, or should say maybe intertwined between countries. And I mean, U.S. corporations made the decision to do that. And the objective is to basically, in a lot of cases, minimize your cost. Well, as Bob pointed out, that's great if there's no sort of bumps in the supply chain. But the problem that you get, if there is a bump in the supply chain, well, then what do? You just don't put up a semiconductor plant overnight. And that's kind of one of the problems with this supply chain stuff for inflation. Well, can it be fixed? Well, yeah, sort of, but it's not going to change overnight. So I think Bob is spot on with his comments.
And Bob mentioned the Phillips curve. I'll admit, I just quick refresh myself on that online. And that's the idea that more employment leads to more inflation, and there's a relationship between the two. Is this the thinking? I mean, that's kind of what the Fed used to do, right? If employment got too hot, they would worry about inflation.
Well, that's true, although I think in what's gone on in the COVID, you've got a little something different going on. If you look at U.S. employment, we peaked at about 152 million before COVID, and then we lost about 22 million jobs in 2 months. So back in April 2020, that was down to 130 million. Employment's come back to about 149 million, which is obviously good, but we're still not at the employment levels that we were at pre-COVID. So, okay, if we're not at the employment levels that we were at pre-COVID, why is inflation so bad? Well, then you enter the supply chain problems, number one, and also energy costs have gone through the roof. And just about everything that you buy is delivered by a truck. So last year, gas prices were up 50%. Energy prices overall were up 30%. And we definitely could discuss that a little bit more, but that kind of, you know, again, it kind of filters through everything. So yeah, the increase in employment, that's definitely, I mean, we've had a strong comeback, economy's been strong, but with these supply chain issues, inflation's really increased significantly.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. John is on the line in Sturgeon Bay. John, hi.
Hi. Just calling to bring up another aspect to this conversation. And, you know, COVID certainly makes sense. But in the Wall Street Journal, there was a recent article, January 11th, and it says the title is "A Big Reason for Rising Prices is the Weather." And I know you mentioned some energy prices and like in Texas, you know, the big freeze and affect their production and delivery of energy, and then the price went way up because things got frozen, and then there's been like soybeans, there's been drought and fires and floods and hurricanes.
John, I get the point. We're coming up on a break, but Kevin, extreme weather events driving the cost of fuel and energy, John says, and that trickles elsewhere.
Again, I think John is absolutely right. I think one of the novel things with this increase in inflation is we're kind of just discussing the subject. You just can't point to one thing as the cause of the inflation. A number of things have contributed to it.
Thanks for that call, John. We're talking to Kevin Barr, finance professor, chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point. We're talking about the high inflation data that just came out this week, drawing some connections to what's happening with the pandemic, looking how it fits into the bigger economic picture. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a culprit you'd want to point toward for high inflation, or if you want to tell us how it's affecting you in your personal finances at your workplace. 800-642-1234. Has it changed the way you spend money? Have you changed what you're going to buy? And have your habits changed in general? Maybe traveling less, so you're looking for other things to spend that money on and finding lots of people are looking for the same stuff. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about inflation with UW-Stevens Point's Kevin Barr, professor of finance. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions or your experiences firsthand with inflation. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin, before we go back to our callers, I want to look at another culprit that some point to, and that's federal spending. Some big COVID relief spending in 2020. At the beginning of last year, we had a new package, an infrastructure bill passed. I don't know how much of that money's actually hit the streets yet. Is there a role for a lot of federal government spending driving up the supply of money in people's pockets, their demand for stuff, and then prices going up?
In my opinion, that certainly would not be the primary culprit. I mean, if you look at where we were back in April 2020, the unemployment rate hit 14.7%. We lost over 20 million jobs in 2 months. So money was spent back in 2020. By the end of the year, and the unemployment rate had gone from 14.7% down to about 6.7%. So, I mean, that's nice improvement. But again, there was more to be done. So there was more spending the following year in 2021. And that did lower the unemployment rate down to 3.9% at the end of the year. Now, that's true, but you still had 3 million fewer people employed at the end of 2021 compared to what you had pre-COVID. So, yes, there was government spending. Yes, it was a very quick turnaround to get people back into jobs, but it still didn't match the level of employment that basically happened pre-COVID. So, the supply chain issues are really kind of the number one driver of this. And again, energy costs, with that going up the way it, a 50% increase in gas prices, that trickles through everything that you buy.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Mike is with us in Richland Center. Mike, hi.
Hi. I have a question. It seems that the president often gets blamed for bad economics, and I'm curious, is the president to blame? Should he be doing something, or should he be not doing something to help this out?
Mike, good question. Kevin, what is in a president's bag of tricks, a toolkit to try to deal with inflation?
Mike, I think that is an excellent question. So I'll just make a general comment, not geared in any way toward any party, but typically I think presidents get too much of the credit when things go right and too much of the blame when things go wrong. If you look at interest rates, the Federal Reserve primarily controls interest rates in this country. And obviously, if you move interest rates, that can influence demand. But the Federal Reserve acts theoretically as an independent body. So if you look back through history and how things have gone with the economy, whether it's 1990 or 1980, typically there's way too much blame when things go wrong and too much credit when things go right. As far as what the president can do, again, the president can basically use fiscal policy. That was done through multiple rounds. Trump did it. Biden did it. And from that angle, you can control that part of the economy. You really can't control interest rates, and you can't do much with the supply chain. The supply chain issues, there's very little that the president can do with the supply chain issues in the short run.
Thanks for that call, Mike, at 800-642-1234. Talking about inflation with Kevin Barr from UW Stevens Point. Let's go next to Tim in Sauk City. Tim, hi.
Thank you, guys. You haven't discussed this, and I've heard a major factor here is the oil companies have transitioned in the last 5 years. Congress allowed the American oil to be sold internationally, went under the international market. That had all changed in the 70s when we had the long oil lines. You know, the government restricted the oil to be sold that was produced in the United States could only be sold in the United States. And we've had a high production of oil in the country. So the oil companies wanted to get the highest price that they could. And so they changed the legislation. And now they're getting paid off. And they're doing in the president by doing that. The 50% increase in oil prices is due to the oil companies getting a payoff because they bought the politicians.
Tim, thanks for the call. Kevin, is there something to that? American oil being sold overseas, if it stayed here, the prices might come down?
To a point, yes. And let me kind of maybe try to explain this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. If you look at the overall global demand for oil or what's going on with oil prices, it's basically gone nuts globally. U.S. oil production, as was just pointed out, was at a record high before COVID hit, and then it dropped about 20% after COVID. And with that drop in production, typically comes a drop in supply. And so typically what happens when the economy is going really, really good, oil production is ramped up, oil is sold by U.S. companies globally. But then when the economy contracts, inventories are cut back significantly. As I mentioned, U.S. oil production declined about 20% back in 2020. And then you get inventories at really low level. And then when the economy starts going kind of roaring back, then typically what happens is there's a mismatch between what is demanded and what is supplied, and prices go through the roof. In the United States, the price per barrel went from about $16 to $80. Overseas, it went from about $9 to about $80. Now that's backed off a little bit lately as production is started to kind of been ramped up. But typically there's a lag effect, and that happened in 2009, and it's basically happened again now. But as the caller pointed out, I mean, U.S. oil production is at a record high before COVID hit.
Tim, thanks for the call. We had a listener email, and I've seen this from some Democratic senators as well, an accusation that some of the price increases are corporate profit taking. They know there's some more money out there from federal relief, and they're looking to cash in. What do you think of those claims?
Corporate profits are 30% higher now than what they were back in 2018. So certainly that doesn't apply to every company. That's generally what has happened. So certainly in some cases that although costs have gone up to corporations, the prices that consumers are paying has gone up by more than the cost increase to corporations. And again, the number that I'm throwing out there is basically tracked by the Federal Reserve.
And just our last minute and a half or so, what are you watching for over the next couple months to see if inflation has peaked and we'll start dialing down again?
Well, I think you got a couple things here, but I think number one is going to be that supply chain issue. If you can get COVID under control worldwide, you get rid of any labor interruptions, you get supply chains back on track, and that's going to do an awful lot to kind of lessen any problems with inflation. In addition to that, you'll also see a ramp up again a little bit in interest rates. Again, they're still going to be historically relatively low, but that will temper demand a little bit. And again, I think all this stuff, it's just going to smooth out a little bit. You won't have the rapid increases in economic growth. That's going to smooth out. You won't have the rapid increases in employment growth. That's going to smooth out. So by the end of this year, The Federal Reserve, take it for what it's worth, it's a forecast, but they hope inflation will be under 3% by the end of the year.
You use the phrase, if we can get COVID under control worldwide. That's one of the biggest ifs I've ever heard. That means there's a lot of ways this could go.
Well, you know, if you go back about a year ago, I think for the most part, there was a lot of expectation that, you know, when you went back to the grocery store, you weren't going to have to worry about getting toilet paper or something else anymore. And then you had the resurgence of COVID at the end of the year. And it's sort of like, well, now we're kind of going back to the way things were kind of in April and May 2020.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you very much for the opportunity. And thanks to all our callers for calling in.
That's Kevin Barr, professor of finance and chief analyst at the Center for Business and Economic Insight at UW-Stevens Point. We talked to him today about new inflation numbers out this week. In December, we hit a level not seen in the U.S. for about 40 years. Coming up Monday on Central Time, American drivers have a speeding addiction. We'll hear the case is going to take some personal changes and design updates to fix it. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we'll check out yesterday's Supreme Court rulings on President Biden's vaccine mandates, the political reactions, and what comes next. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.